This morning is from Psalm 86, verses 11 through 17. Listen for the word of the Lord. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. And I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your serving girl. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame. Because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. Continue to listen for God's word to you this day. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. Jesus answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, for many years, each spring, my father planted what he called his salad garden. He grew several kinds of lettuce, carrots, radishes, tomatoes, cucumbers, parsley, and a number of other herbs. My sisters and I helped a little bit with the planting process, but our main job was to take care of the weeds. Now, when we were little, we needed a lot of supervision to be sure that we did not pull up the vegetables instead of or along with the weeds. Gradually, Meg and Susan and I became better able to recognize the difference between a weed and a young carrot or lettuce or cucumber plant. But we were never very good at telling the difference between the weeds and the herbs. Eventually, my father just gave up on asking us to weed that part of the garden. He just let everything grow up together until he or my mother wanted a specific herb for a salad or something they were cooking, and then he would go out and easily tell the difference between the weeds and the herbs he wanted. Now, our reading from Matthew's gospel reminded me of my father's salad garden and the challenge that my sisters and I had of telling the difference between the herbs and the weeds, or in Matthew's gospel, between the weeds and the wheat. Last week, Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to a sower scattering seeds with reckless abundance. This week, the image shifts from the generosity of the sower to the patience and wisdom of the landowner. The good seed has taken root, but it is not alone. As every gardener knows, there are always weeds among the wheat. Now, this week's parable is not going to answer every question we might ask about the origin of evil. The parable also, I think, is not trying to explain why there are good and bad things in the world. That is a given in the reality that Jesus describes. That is a given in our world as well. Instead, I think this parable asks us to consider a more practical, ethical question. How are the people of God to live in a world where good and evil, wheat and weeds, remain tangled together? What is our true calling as disciples in a world where we are tempted to make quick and lasting decisions about wheat and weeds, about who is in and who is out? Now, the lectionary has us read these stories individually, but there are a number of parables of the kingdom in chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel that really are not disconnected stories with separate morals. Taken together, all of these stories are addressing a growing tension among the disciples and among those who are hearing Jesus' message. A tension that has been developing through chapters 11 and 12 of Matthew's gospel and will continue to develop as we move ahead in this section of our reading. People are beginning to wonder, if Jesus is truly the Messiah, why hasn't everything changed? John the Baptist asked a question, "Are you the one? Or are we supposed to wait for somebody else?" He wasn't sure about Jesus. Maybe not enough had changed. And we can understand why John the Baptist and others might have asked that question. At this point, John's in prison. Religious leaders are beginning to question and challenge and oppose Jesus. Cities, including Jesus' own hometown, will reject his preaching. The demons of injury and illness continue to torment people despite Jesus' miracles of healing. Rome is still ruling Israel, Yes, Jesus proclaimed that the kingdom of God has come near, but the world doesn't look transformed. This parable addresses precisely that tension, and it is a tension in which we live today as well. Wars and disease continue. Poverty and oppression harm the innocent. Greed and hunger for power seem to dominate. The world is clearly a mixed field of weeds and wheat. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, but more often than that, sometimes it seems like the weeds are stronger than the wheat. Now, Jesus provides us with some more explanation of his parable when the disciples in private ask him to explain things. Just as with the parable of the sower, disciples in the first century and disciples today are invited to move beyond simply hearing the story toward understanding how this story can guide our experience of daily living as those who would follow Jesus. Now, Jesus' explanation offers a wider and a longer view. The field is the world, but perhaps also the church. And certainly, if we're honest, each one of us as imperfect disciples of our risen Lord. The Son of Man has sown the good seed of the kingdom throughout creation. Yet an enemy has also been at work. The harvest represents the end of the age. Now, that is one of Matthew's favorite expressions for the final consummation of God's kingdom at the end of time. Jesus is not describing anything that's going to happen immediately. He is looking farther ahead. Judgment belongs to the end of days, not to the present. In his explanation, Jesus kind of slows the story down. The question is not whether there will be a harvest. The question is when. The crisis in the parable is not really God's judgment, but humanity's impatience. The pressure to act comes not from the landowner, not from the master, but from those servants who cannot tolerate the ambiguity of a field where wheat and weeds are growing together. Those servants want immediate action. Pull up the weeds now. Clean up that field. Separate the righteous from the wicked while there's still time. Now, everything about what those servants propose sounds perfectly reasonable. They have identified the problem correctly. They've offered a solution. And in fact, they volunteered to do the difficult work of going out there and weeding that field. If the field contains weeds, surely faithful servants should act to remove them. The master says no. Not because the weeds are harmless, not because justice or judgment doesn't matter, but because premature action, premature judgment, risks destroying that wheat as well. Now, this image would have been familiar to Matthew's original audience. There was a poisonous weed known as darnel, sometimes translated in older versions of our text as tares, that really looks a lot like wheat. And you cannot tell the difference until the grain heads on both plants have matured. So the problem is not merely that the weeds exist, but that if you rush to pull plants, you may pull the good plants instead of the weeds. Jesus' concern here is not for evil in the abstract. It's the danger of assuming that we can identify, separate, and remove evil before God's appointed time. Now, for Matthew's community, living amidst conflict, persecution, and competing claims about who really belonged to God's people, this answer was probably both frustrating and comforting. Yes, evil is real. Yes, judgment is certain. But we're not supposed to do anything now? The master tells those servants to wait. This patience should not be mistaken for the master's indifference. The harvest is still coming. Jesus leaves no doubt in this parable that God will judge evil. The explanation, in fact, of that harvest is among the clearest depictions of the final judgment in Matthew's gospel. Yet until that day, until the end of the age, the defining characteristic of God's kingdom is patient mercy rather than anxious separation. Now, divine patience can often be mistaken for divine absence or indifference, and you know what I mean. God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we would like them to be answered on our timetable. There's still not world peace, despite the fact that I know you and I pray for it every day. So does God not care? Did God not hear our prayer? Of course not. Jesus says precisely the opposite. God's delay is not neglect, but mercy. The kingdom is already at work, but that kingdom grows according to God's timetable, not ours. Now, when we think about it, for this delay in the final harvest, we can be grateful. Because as we confess each Sunday, we know that we have fallen short of the glory of God. Redeemed by God's amazing grace, we still sin. And so we know that humanity cannot be neatly divided into pure wheat over here and pure weeds over there. Sin is never merely out there in someone or something else. It remains stubbornly present within each of us, even as Christ has declared us dead to sin and alive to God. So we're happy for the delay in that harvest. Perhaps there's another reason why the servants were not entrusted to pull the weeds. Like my sisters and me trying to tell the difference between the weeds and the herbs in our father's salad garden, we are not always very good judgments of other people's hearts. We often confuse appearances with reality. We sometimes mistake our enemies for God's enemies. We may be too quick to uproot those whom Christ is still patiently nurturing. The kingdom grows through God's patience before it culminates in God's judgment. Now, this idea of the harvest and sorting out the wheats from the weeds reminds me of course, the sorting hat in the Harry Potter series. That's the first thing that happens when you get to Hogwarts. Which house are you going to be in? Which group does the hat say you belong to? And the children worried about that, some of them. Sorting is popular and urgent. We live in an age where that happens all the time. Every disagreement becomes an opportunity to decide who belongs and who doesn't, Social media continually trains us to dismiss, to cancel, to unfollow, to block, to label. Politics divides the world. And even sometimes churches can be places where we quietly determine who's really faithful. The slaves, the servants in the parable, have that same impulse. They see a problem, and they immediately want to fix it. Let's pull those weeds. Let's purify that field. Let's separate the weeds from the wheat before any more damage can be done. Now, Jesus does not deny that there are weeds. He does not deny that evil exists. He does not abandon the promise of judgment and justice. Instead, he reminds us that judgment belongs to the Son of Man, not to us. In this parable, if you notice, the humans, the servants, are never going to be entrusted with that harvest. When Jesus explains the parable, the reapers are the angels. The servants are never going to be expected to gather those weeds. Disciples are not commissioned to separate the righteous from the wicked. Even at the end of the age, the work of gathering belongs to the angels at the command of Jesus, our Lord. Now that insight frees us as disciples for a different calling. Rather than spending our energy identifying the weeds, we are invited to cultivate wheat, exactly as Jamie said, in the seeds that we want to plant in our daily activities. Rather than worrying about who should be excluded, we are invited to join God's patient work of proclaiming the gospel, nurturing faith, extending mercy, forgiving sins, and trusting that the final harvest belongs to Christ. It is not our job to determine who is within and who is beyond God's love and attention. Rather, it is our job to imagine everyone as belonging to God and therefore to love them and care for them as God's very own. In the presence of evil in the world, it is our job to be salt and light, to preserve what is good and nourishing, to bring hope and comfort in the very real darkness of earthly life, to care for the sick, the lonely, those who need food or clothing or shelter, those who are oppressed or lost or who mourn. Jesus calls us to love God and to love our neighbors, and in doing so, to know that we are indeed serving the Master. Now, this parable also offers, I think, some comfort to those of us who know our own failures. We know what it's like to discover weeds still growing where we thought there was only wheat. Old sins persist. New temptations emerge. We recognize parts of ourselves that still need Christ's redeeming work. We live daily from God's grace, not from our own righteousness. And so we can share the psalmist's petition, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth and revere God's holy name." We continue to work to be those with ears to hear the message from our Lord. The good news of the parable is that the Master has not abandoned that field. He is patient. His patience is not permission to remain unchanged. It is the gracious space in which repentance, forgiveness, and new life can grow until the day when Christ himself brings that harvest to completion. In the end, only God and his angels will separate the wheat from the weeds. And on that day, as on every day, we can trust in the amazing grace of God and the promise of God's redeeming love. For on that day and every day, we can join the psalmist to affirm, "You, O God, are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." We can be thankful that the church, the disciples, the servants of the Master have not been sent to separate the wheat from the weeds. Rather, the church has been sent to make disciples, to baptize, to teach, to forgive, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The harvest belongs to the angels. The judgment belongs to the Son of Man. In the meantime, our calling as disciples is to remain faithful to the work of loving God, of loving our neighbor, as we live in a world full of wheat and weeds, and try faithfully to follow the Master. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen.